Welcome to the Holistic Healing Connection podcast with your host, holistic practitioner and mentor, Amber Cook. Join Amber and her guests weekly for insight and practical tips to help you succeed on your path to wellness. This episode is sponsored by HealingWays.com, nurturing business, cultivating health, growing community. Your one-stop holistic health resource, HealingWAZE.com.
Hi, I'm Amber Cook. I've spent my life practicing and experimenting with holistic and alternative healthcare because I believe it is the real healthcare, the way to well-being. So stick around because your holistic healing connection starts right now. Hello and welcome to episode number 2. Today we're going to chat about dieting and intuitive eating. Did you know that the diet and weight loss industry is over a $66 billion industry? That to me is crazy because the statistics show that those of us that go on diet will almost always gain the weight back and sometimes even more. So what that shows me is that this industry is not for health, it's for profit. So if you're like me and are ready to say goodbye to wasting time, money, self-esteem on dieting, you definitely want to listen to today's episode. I'm going to be chatting with my guest, Coach Tiffany RN. Tiffany's a registered nurse, integrative coach, and certified intuitive eating practitioner. She's also a kick-ass speaker. So if you're able to get to see her in person, you don't want to miss it. Normally, at this point, she is doing events in Oregon. Tiffany helps women, more specifically women leaders, who are done wasting their precious energy on constant mental chatter about food and their bodies. I know I'm ready to ditch that. Are you? Tiffany supports us in healing our relationship with food using intuitive eating. And she's going to tell us a little bit more in this episode what exactly is intuitive eating. If you don't yet consider yourself a leader or a woman, you'll still get some great tips from this episode, I promise. And Tiffany says, with intuitive eating, we stop making our food choices based on shoulds, and instead we build trust with our bodies so it can guide us. We learn to listen to and honor the signals our body is giving us. That, to me, just says holistic all over. Listen to your body. I've learned a lot since getting to know Tiffany, and I think you will too. So please join us. And after listening, if you'd like to learn more about Tiffany and more about intuitive eating, you can find her online at CoachTiffanyRN.com or on Healing Ways and the various social media links that'll be in these show notes. So let's dive in. So hi, Tiffany. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me on.
Yes, my pleasure. Today we're going to chat about food, intuitive eating, and the D word. And I know you have a lot to say about that. But before we get started, I would like you to tell everybody a little bit about your professional background.
Sure. So I am an RN. Some people get confused and they're like, are you still a nurse? Yes, I am in fact still a nurse. I went through training to become a coach under my nursing license. So my coaching work is practicing as a nurse. And then I also have been trained as an intuitive eater. It's actually called a certified professional intuitive eating counselor. But I just say intuitive eating coach. It's easier for a lot of people to really, you know, they know what that means. And then I also am, you know, I've recently left the hospital. So I have my own practice where I do intuitive eating coaching, and it's a blend of the coaching, also looking at people's underlying health issues that are potentially standing in the way or causing them to have an increased desire for food. And so I really take my professional nursing background and marry that with my intuitive eating counseling coaching.
Nice. And you are part of the Holistic Nursing Association as well, correct?
Well, the training that I receive is governed by the Holistic Nurses Association.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. And I recently, just yesterday, had the pleasure to work with you finally. And, so I'm even more excited to dive into this stuff that I learned a little bit about yesterday. And I know others want to know all about it. So, I first just want to start out because you do talk about your relationship with food a lot. Why is that important? What is our relationship with food, and why is it important to have a healthy relationship with food?
Yeah. So a lot of times The way that our culture is we receive all of these messages about what we should and shouldn't eat, mm-hmm. about foods being good or bad, how we should eat, when we should eat. As women, we're told also that we should suppress our appetite.
Yeah.
And so those are all external measurements and external rules around mm-hmm. food. And so in intuitive eating, what we do is we look at how do we relate to food. So that's an internal locus of control, right? So it's bringing nice. It back to how does this look in our lives? And so one example might be, you know, I have some clients that don't eat enough during the day because they are powerful women leaders and mm-hmm. entrepreneurs, right? And so they don't eat all day long, and then they're starving in the evening and they eat everything in sight, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's more about how you're relating to food. You're putting other things, you're making other things a priority over your appetite, over the signals that your body is giving you, right? Mm-hmm. And then in the evening time, you're eating. And the thing is, like, it's a completely biological and appropriate response to having not eaten to want to eat all the things, right?
Yeah.
Your hunger signals actually increase, your fullness or satiety signals actually go down so that you will eat enough calories, right? So that your body, I'm doing air quotes, but you guys can't see me. So your body is trying to catch up, so to speak. And that's actually called primal hunger. The problem is that it's more about the way that we relate to it, right? So then we feel shame because we have just eaten beyond fullness. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we've eaten the whole thing, like the whole bag or the whole, right?
The whole carton of ice cream,
whatever it is, the whole thing. And then we, you know, beat ourselves up about it, right? So that's mm-hmm. all about how we relate to ourselves and how we relate to food.
Yeah.
And then we're layering on top of that all these external things, right? So that all those shoulds, like you shouldn't eat after 9 o'clock, you shouldn't eat carbs, you shouldn't eat the whole thing, you shouldn't eat too much, right? All of those then cause us to have even more shame and self-judgment. And that gets in the way of us being able to connect with our body, know what our body is telling us, and then honor that.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the example I gave, honoring that would be being connected with your body enough that you hear and feel your hunger signals. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, honoring that is stopping what you're doing, you know, taking that time to make yourself a priority and go eat something.
Right? Yeah.
So that you're not starving in the evening. And then, you know, so many people talk about like emotional eating. So that's a big one. That's about how we're relating to food and mm-hmm. also about how we are relating to our bodies or our needs. So we're not honoring a need. Instead we are using food to address a need, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's much more about healing that and having a healthy, quote unquote, relationship with food so that we can use our bodies as the gauge and stop all that insanity, stop all of the, all of those conflicting messages. We call it the food police in intuitive
eating. Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I do have to say personally, after my session with you yesterday, later on in the day, I had all these, because, you know, I'm a business owner, I'm an entrepreneur, I love what I do, I get super passionate and forget to eat sometimes when I'm in that creative mode, especially. And I had just all these things that I wanted to do. And I was like, it just needs to come out right now. But then I was like, but I haven't eaten since 9 o'clock this morning. Mm-hmm. And I heard your voice in my head, like, I'm going to go fulfill my body's needs right now first. So I don't want to eat the whole bag of chips later tonight at 7 o'clock. So, yes, everything you say is right on. And I want to know then, because I kind of know a little bit that you yourself personally struggled with some issues around food, earlier on. And this is part of why this is one of the things you're passionate of helping other women leaders to do. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, how did you heal your relationship with food?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yeah, so I started dieting when I was probably 10 years old.
Okay.
My mom and I did, you know, we did like the Richard Simmons sweat into the oldie. Yep. And, and there was like a diet with it, and they had these little cards,
yes.
you know, kind of like the point system that you could, you know, like a fruit was one color and then a vegetable.
My mom had that. Yeah. I used to study it. Like it was the Bible.
Totally.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I didn't know then is that restricting and dieting actually cause an increased desire for food. They also, over time, cause weight gain, not weight loss. Mm-hmm. So diets don't work, but I didn't know. And so I dieted off and on for weight loss for years. Mm-hmm. And I would lose weight and gain weight. And, you know, I probably had a spread of, I had a spread of about 100 pounds that I would,
that I
wouldn't always lose all of it and I wouldn't always gain all of it, but it, you know, I would fluctuate between in that range.
Yeah.
And I've been, you know, 100 pounds difference in my lifetime. And eventually I became a nurse, and in nursing school, they don't, you know, you go to take a nutrition class, right? No. But it's like macro, it's really interesting because it's not really anything about how people relate to food. It's much more about macros, and you do learn things that are valuable, like when you're healing from surgery, protein and vitamin C are really important for wound healing, right? Mm-hmm. Things like that. But I wouldn't view it as healthy. It was very scientific and not really about real people at all.
Yeah.
And as a nurse, I did have an inkling of, you know, initially I was still doing the weight loss yo-yo dieting thing, but then after a while I had this inkling of like, I wanted to eat for health, right? I wanted to get healthy. Mm-hmm. And I also started having some gut health issues. I have an autoimmune condition that crept up. I have a back injury. And so I got really burnt out in my nursing career and was struggling with all of these health issues. So I started seeking a lot of personal growth and development. I got into the, you know, healthy eating world. I had doctors telling me, you know, to help to heal my gut, to eat healthy. I did 4 Whole 30s. You know, like I've done it all for real. You know, I've
the
done
whole 120.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So, you know, at some point it shifted from weight loss to health, but it was still really disordered. And so I would still do this thing where I would eat perfectly and then fall off the wagon and have like a binge episode, right? And then I would beat myself up about it. And the diets actually got more and more restrictive, you know, based on the diagnosis I had. So I believe that the doctors were really well-intentioned in telling me, you know, to eat this way. And it did help with control, you know, controlling or managing my symptoms. But again, it was so disordered because it would, you know, be so much restriction and restraint that I would break that restraint and have these, you know, binges and then feel all guilty. Mm-hmm. And this happened, you know, right up until even, you know, when I became a nurse coach, in the nurse coaching program, they do, you know, we do talk some about healthy eating, but it's more about, you know, kind of food as medicine, eating to support your wellness, which I do believe, you know, eating nutrient dense foods can help you feel more well for sure.
Yeah.
So it's not that that's not true. It's just that having that much restriction was really harmful to me. Got to the point where I was doing longer term diets that were, you know, I had to measure my broccoli, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was like half a cup at a time, you know, and I was like, this is insanity. And this is going to lead to a full blown, you know, eating disorder. Like this is really starting to affect my mental health. Yeah. So I actually sought out therapy, and, I was really blessed to have found on the Brené Brown website to have found a therapist in Portland who does intuitive eating work and health at every size and, you know, very body positive.
So cool.
Yeah. And so I went to her just a few times and was introduced to intuitive eating and was like, this is the missing piece, right? So to speak. Although I don't fully believe that we have missing pieces. It was the thing for me that I knew it was going to be transformative. And so I immediately I enrolled in the program to become, you know, a counselor, and I read the book immediately and just really started to dive into it. And I was still doing my nurse coaching more around self-care, you know, generalized wellness, that sort of thing. And people really started asking me about my relationship with food. They saw, you know, previous to that, because I was healing my gut and doing these, you know, more restrictive diet, they saw me lose weight. Mm-hmm. And then they saw me kind of maintaining my weight, and they saw my relationship to food really changing. And so they were really curious, but I actually was resistant to talking about it because I did not want to contribute to weight stigma, to shame around any of it. So I wanted to make sure I was really solid. And, and also, you know, I wasn't sure that that was the path for me. And finally I had somebody come up to me after a networking event and say, you know, I'm just so tired of obsessing about food.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, can you help me? And it's like, I have to do this work. I actually felt at that point like, oh, I have a responsibility to help others because of how much pain it had caused me. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, as an entrepreneur and a woman, you know, who has a big mission and a big passion, the difference that it made for me to heal my relationship with food and become an intuitive eater had so much more freedom and so much more balance. And I didn't have to waste all that mental and emotional energy struggling with food, trying to control food anymore and trying to control my body. And so, you know, I decided, all right, I have a calling to do this. And now it's, I have come to a place where I've realized that this has been the most empowering work I've ever done in my whole life.
Mm, beautiful.
And I've done a lot of personal growth and development work. And
I was going to say, you are the self-care queen.
I am the self-care queen. I mean, you know, I do all of these things, and yet this has been the most impactful, just having, and now I'm seeing it on a much bigger scale that, you know, and this is something that affects men as well. So people are affected by this, but I feel like women in particular, you know, we are told that our appetites aren't important, that our satisfaction isn't important, right? And
yeah,
so that empowerment has become a, it's really like a social justice statement for mm-hmm. me that this nice. Is so important. So yeah, so that's kind of how I came to be where I am today.
Nice. Love that. And how long do you think that you have been healed of your struggles with your food relationship?
Well, I started doing this work about 2 years ago. I'd say the last year, I feel like I just feel very confident saying I've healed my relationship with food. I'm totally an intuitive eater.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, it took, initially there was still a lot of guilt and shame when I would have what I felt like was a binge episode. Mm-hmm. Now I'm able to just really have no judgment. And that's, for me, the cornerstone is like, you know, I posted on social media recently, yeah. Like I still eat the whole bag of chips sometimes, and yeah. That's okay. You know, that's okay now. And here's why. And it's because I don't judge myself. I don't beat myself up about it. But that there's hard wiring in our brains, right?
Yeah.
Like from years and years and years. And so when we do something that's triggering, or we have an event that's triggering, then that automatically triggers the shame, right? So when you eat beyond fullness, it lights up that pathway for a lot of people, that shame pathway. Mm-hmm. So you actually have to actively rewire it, which requires having the experience of, I ate the whole, like, you know, maybe even I ate the whole bag of chips and the whole carton of ice cream. and then practicing some, you know, some active like shifting of that, right. Like you're going to have that shame, but then recognizing like, oh, I'm having the shame because that's my old way of thinking that's mm-hmm. related to the cultural conditioning, and, you know, being gentle. So, you know, they can't see me, but I'm kind of like petting my own arm uh-huh. here. Like, yeah. Okay, body, we ate these things and it doesn't feel good, but, you know, it doesn't mean I'm a bad person, right? Like that I'm broken. It just means that, you know, I had some restriction or some restraint, or I had something emotional happen or whatever it was, mm-hmm. That was leading up to it. And then we can start to shift the patterns and habits in our lives that set us up for that. So like mm-hmm. you were saying, pausing and eating some food, and then, you know, and then you still might even want the whole bag of chips later, right? Right. But because it's kind of a habit for a lot of people, yeah. or for whatever reason,
yeah.
If we feed ourselves nourishing food regularly, mm-hmm. and we take care of the other things, pain and stress and, you know, fatigue and all those other things
yeah.
that might be causing us to have an increased desire for food over time, we'll just have, you know, just a desire for food when we're hungry.
Yeah. Like, well, and it probably helps stop that cycle of, you know, you overeat in quotes, mm-hmm. and then you feel the shame and the guilt and all the bad stuff. And then what do you continue to do usually?
Yeah. Then you want to self-soothe even more.
Yes. And it becomes this, it just keeps on going. Mm-hmm. And so by doing what you've learned to do it with intuitive eating, it probably just really stops that, like, right in its tracks.
Yeah. So, and it also stops the, I have to get back on track on Monday. So I'm like, I eat the whole you know, and now what are my, we call it last supper eating. Like what's, I'm never going to be able to have cookies again. So I better make it good. Right. Like I don't have to do that now because I can have them whenever I want.
Yeah. In fact, after our conversation yesterday, I told my husband that we need to stock up with junk food. And he just looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, trust me, we just need to experiment with it.
Yeah, that's the key word is the experimenting, right? Like, you know, for me, it's really gotten like to the point where now I can really ask myself, do I really want this, mm-hmm. right? Like, do I actually really want that? Yeah. And a lot of times it's like, nah, not really. But sometimes like I was feeling deprived of Easter candy. I mean, I told you the story. I was feeling deprived of Easter candy because in my household when I was a girl, like my mom always would get like Easter, like, you know, we get baskets and she loves Easter candy, like the marshmallow stuff, whatever, all the things.
Oh, the grossest of gross, but okay.
I know. It's super sweet, right? It's actually pretty like it's like a child's candy. It's very.
Totally.
Right. But because it was something that was like a big thing in my mm-hmm. household and you only get it once a year, right? Yeah. So all the Easter candy down in the grocery store and I'm feeling deprived and I try to avoid cane sugar. I also have, you know, because it gives me a headache. That's mm-hmm. the only reason. But then I also have an egg intolerance. So a lot of times things with like marshmallow will have like eggs or the hot, you know, whatever and dyes and corn syrup and stuff. So I didn't really want any of that, but I was just like, but I want something. So I found these like vegan marshmallows. Had some, they weren't that great. And I was like, okay. And they're super sweet. They were like cinnamon sugar out on the outside. And then
marshmallow. Oh my God.
Like coated. It was like, you know, like your teeth hurt from eating them. Yes. So I had a few, they weren't that great. And then a few days later, I was feeling deprived again. I had some more and they mm-hmm. weren't that great. And so now they're like been sitting, I'm sure they're stale because they've been sitting in the cupboard since then. Right. So do I really want it? No, not really. You know? Yeah.
Awesome. Well, another thing that I learned from your recent post, or that inspired me anyway, is I recently did buy a bag of chips. And in the past, I would have definitely felt a little bit of shame about that bag of chips. And I was like, I pulled them out of the bag and put them in the car, like all proud. I'm like, yep, this is my bag of kettle chips.
Yep. Well, and we can enjoy them, right?
Yeah, like, and I did. I enjoyed it. I ate it slower, actually. Like, I ate them real slow. I really enjoyed it. Just not having that, like, feeling like you're hiding something. You gotta mm-hmm. eat it faster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have definitely inspired me in many ways with just the little things you post. I love the things that you put online. I love how you're kind of like down with the diet industry. Mm-hmm. So before we talk, I have a few more questions about intuitive eating, but, diets, the big D, the bad D, why don't they work? I know you kind of mentioned it, but yeah, what are some of the, like the solid proven, no doubt this is why diets don't work stuff.
Yeah. So there's actually a lot of research. There's been research we've known since the 40s. The diets don't work. It's really interesting. And the thing is, like, more and more research is coming out that they actually cause harm. So not only do they not work, but they're harmful. Yeah. So when we diet, we have restriction, right? Mm-hmm. Or restraint. And then that causes an increased desire for food. So the forbidden fruit phenomenon. And if you're restricting calories, even inadvertently, right? So a lot of times people do like Whole30 and they're like, well, I can eat as much as I want, but it's hard to eat, you know, enough quote unquote calories mm-hmm. when you're not eating in a way that you're used to eating. Right. So you may inadvertently be restricting calories, even if you're not doing it intentionally. So when we don't have as many calories, you know, when we're kind of restricting or we don't have as many calories as our body wants or needs, our body actually slows our metabolism down mm-hmm. and we actually burn muscle mass. So we lose, you know, muscle tissue. So we lose muscle mass. So the decreased metabolism and the decreased muscle mass reduces our ability to burn calories. Mm-hmm. So the combination of an increased desire for food and a decreased ability to burn those calories, when you break that restraint, you're going to eat more calories, right? Because you've been, or more food, and that you're going to actually not be able to process that the way that you used to be able to. So even if you were to just go back to the weeding the way that you did previously, mm-hmm. you won't be able to maintain that weight loss. Mm-hmm. The problem with this, and they showed this in the study by the about the Biggest Losers, which is why that show is not on anymore. Well, one of the reasons. But what they found is that even after 6 years, the people who have participated still had a reduced metabolism and reduced muscle mass.
Wow.
So it has long lasting effects. So they would have had to continue to restrict at the level that they were restricting and continued physical activity at the level they were doing it at.
Which is impossible.
Indefinitely, right? Yeah. To be able to, yeah. And so what the other thing that studies have shown is that the more you diet, the more your chances of having an increased weight over time. So mm-hmm. they did a study with twins where one twin was dieting and one twin wasn't. And the twin who was dieting over the years actually ended up heavier than the other twin. So it's not like a genetic, you know, thing.
Right? Yeah.
Their genes are the same.
Yeah.
Right. And so it really showed that dieting is associated with weight gain. Mm-hmm. So not only does it cause us to weight gain, it also causes or gain weight. It also causes us to have less muscle mass, which is important for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. Right. And it also is, you know, there's a lot of shame, right? So when you break that restraint, you feel like you're broken. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know, you're not good enough. You have no willpower, right? But it's actually just a natural biological response to having that restriction and that restraint.
Yeah.
So they don't work mm-hmm. and they're harmful. And then if you think about like who is profiting off of the message that you have no willpower.
Yeah.
And we continue to do diets, even though we've seen that they don't work. And the thing is that people think they do work because they lose some weight initially. Mm-hmm. But if you zoom out and look at, you know, over a 1 year, 2 year, 5 year period, again, it's always associated. Like in 85 to 95% of cases, depending mm-hmm. on what studies you're looking at, people gain all the way back.
Yeah.
And some people even more. So, mm-hmm. So we're kind of setting ourselves up for failure. And I believe that it causes us to break trust with ourselves over and over and over again, because we are not listening to our body's signals. Mm-hmm. Aggressively not listening to them, right?
Yeah.
Like we're trying to suppress our appetite or we're trying to ignore our appetite. And then your body's like, well, we're just going to take things into our own hands and make this work for us, right?
Yeah.
Instead of like every time you do listen, you know, like you were saying that example of pausing in your workday mm-hmm. yesterday, you honored your body, you regain, you know, you're building that connection and that trust in that moment. And so then mm-hmm. your body doesn't have to yell at you so loud. You know, it's like, okay, I can just whisper. I can just let her know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I have a trick question here. And I know it's a hot topic right now. Keto.
Oh yeah. I love people ask me about keto.
So let's just chat about that for a minute. Cause I know that we have chatted about it before. Mm-hmm. And I think we're pretty on the same page about our thoughts. I would love for you to share your thoughts on the big K.
Yeah, so the big K. So there is research out there that shows some benefits to the keto mm-hmm. diet. My own doctor has encouraged me to do it for like a week out of the month to give my belly a rest. I'm in a place where I'm not willing to do that restriction. Yeah. But because of the health benefits and because of my unique medical issues and my unique makeup, you know, he felt that it would be potentially helpful. Mm-hmm. We also have a relationship where I can just laugh at him if I don't want to do something, or I can just say like, I'm not going to do that. And he's
that's
like,
that's a doctor.
Fine. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we have a great relationship. So I trust him a lot and, mm-hmm. you know, he understands the research. So the research shows that, so, you know, with keto and also with intermittent fasting, what happens is that we go into ketosis. So our body essentially thinks that we're starving, right? Mm-hmm. And so it does, for a lot of people, they do better digestion wise, right? Mm-hmm. And it helps with like increasing neurological cells, which is something that it's hard to make that happen. Like running does it, intermittent fasting does it, keto, some other things. So if you're someone who's had like a brain injury or you have mm-hmm. a seizure disorder,
yeah,
it might be valuable to do it. But for the average person, it can actually be hard, you know, on your hormone levels, right? Like your cortisol, mm-hmm. your adrenal glands, it can be stressful or straining on your body. And I feel like a lot of the research is done on, you know, white men.
Yeah.
So if you're anything other than that, we don't really know, right? Mm-hmm. We don't really know how it affects women's hormones. Like that for women, it can increase your testosterone. Well, that might make you feel good because you might have more energy or, you know, these things, but it might not actually be great for your unique hormone balance, mm-hmm. you know? So it's something I would say is really, it's really important to look at. Okay, so this is another problem with the diet industry. It's one size fits all, right?
Right.
Diet is the best diet for everyone. Whole 30, keto, right. Atkins, you know, low carb, low fat, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like the one, even vegetarian, you know, I there was a documentary out that was like, it's been scientifically proven that the best diet for everyone is a plant-based diet, which is simply not true.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do well with legumes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's,
how are you going to be a vegetarian?
Like what? Yeah. Like, right. I do agree that vegetables are great exactly. for almost everyone. Right.
Exactly.
But, like you can't say that. That's not true. Right. It's everyone is different. And it doesn't mean that you couldn't survive on that diet. And it doesn't mean that you, you know, if you want to choose that for ethical reasons, cool, go for it. But
yeah,
it's not necessarily the best diet simply because it's plants. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So each person is unique and individual, and we really have to acknowledge that. And unfortunately, in the healthcare world, they get kind of sucked into these buzz, you know, diets yeah. as well, or they see one article about something being helpful and then, you know, apply it to everyone,
yep.
You know, so do keto and go do CrossFit. Well, you know, if you have issues, like if your adrenal glands aren't functioning well and your cortisol is all screwed up and you're not sleeping well.
Yeah.
Probably not actually going to be great for your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, however, if you're a 22-year-old guy who, you know, is wanting to build muscle or something, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, like it just yeah. depends on the person. So
yeah.
So that's kind of my feeling about it. It's not mm-hmm. like it's a bad thing. And say, having said all of that, they don't, when they're doing these studies, they don't say anything about the long-term effects of that restriction.
Yeah. That's what I wonder about for sure. Yeah. It hasn't been around long enough.
Mm-hmm. And so for me,
experiment for the diet industry.
Totally. Yeah. So they profit $166 billion a year off of us.
Oh my gosh.
So it's, you know, it's in their best interest. Right. Yeah. So, and you know, I did a restrictive thing in the fall because, we were looking at, particular actually lectins, which are in plants. So you have mm-hmm. to avoid even some plants, which feels really insane when you're like, I can't eat this, squash or whatever. Right.
You know? Yeah, I know.
But we were just looking at, cause I was having some increased pain. And so mm-hmm. we were looking at whether it affected my pain. And actually my pain did improve some while I was doing it. But the result of the restriction, I actually had an increased appetite for months after having done it.
Wow.
And I gained weight. I don't actually know how much. I don't weigh myself anymore, but my clothes have been tight. Right. And so, I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. I only did it for a few weeks
uh-huh.
and for months my appetite
wow.
was increased. So it's
wow.
just not worth it for me from that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely did something to you biologically then if it changed your appetite.
Yeah. And I mean, I, you know, in doing it in just a few weeks, I definitely dropped weight during that mm-hmm. period. And so, you know, it's, and I don't see that as a good or bad thing. I'm weight neutral.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting, like, you know, clearly had a pretty big, like I obviously wasn't able to give enough calories, quote unquote, mm-hmm. because it was like you can't eat anything.
Yeah.
So I know that, you know, there was a psychological effect, mm-hmm. but also a physiological effect, like a,
yeah.
know, something happening in my body too. So, yeah. So, you know, we have to account for all of those things. And unfortunately the research, you know, they have to try to control for everything and they don't look at all of that. Yes. So they just look at the short-term effects of these diets and, you know, a lot of them have interesting, good, you know, results, mm-hmm. right? But then long-term, I feel like they contribute to disordered eating.
Well, I mean, look at what happened with the Atkins diet. You know, it was the big thing for a good chunk of our younger lives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did Atkins.
I tried it.
I did Atkins, and I did the Billy Blanks. You could go to Taco Bell and get Billy Blanks workout videos at Taco Bell. So I would do, it was like, you know, kickboxing.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah, I remember. Yep.
Yeah. So I did Atkins and I did kickboxing and, you know, and I did lose weight and then mm-hmm. I gained it all plus, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yep. Yep, totally. So it sounds like intuitive eating, you definitely want to have a balanced diet, however that looks for you. What else do you want to tell people about intuitive eating? Like, give us some of the details, because it sounds really cool. Anything that uses your intuition.
Yeah.
but how do you start it? How do you work through it?
How do you live through it? Yeah, it can feel scary, for sure, because it's, you know, you're rejecting everything you've ever been told about food, basically.
Yeah.
The thing about intuitive eating, I think that's a little confusing, is people are like, well, I've tried to rely on my intuition, or I've tried eating whatever I want, and I eat all the things. And so we have to, first of all, look at, well, have I had a period of restriction, right? So even, you know, people say, oh, like, I don't diet, but they still a lot of times will eat with restraint or restriction. So they won't allow themselves to eat after a certain time of night, or they don't eat something because it's higher carb, or, you know, there's certain foods that are off limits, right?
Yeah.
So if you've had that period of restriction, you may have a period when you first start doing intuitive eating where you're like, ah, kid in the candy store, I can eat whatever I want. Because we do, we give ourselves unconditional permission to eat, and unconditional permission to eat any food. So I have permission to eat anything I want. And it did take me, you know, there was definitely some times where I was like, I'm going to eat, you know, ice cream like every day for So twice, I'm going to eat ice cream twice today or whatever, right? Like three
pancakes
times.
Every morning, ice cream for dinner. I'm a grown up.
Totally. I can eat whatever I want. The thing is that when we focus on intuitive eating, we're focusing on building trust and connection with our body. Mm-hmm. So yes, I can eat whatever I want, but so for example, corn chips, right? I can eat corn chips. If I were to have like nachos that I made at home, the next morning I would wake up and like my joints would kind of hurt and I'd feel puffy and probably feel a little foggy headed. I wouldn't feel terrible, but I wouldn't feel amazing. Right. Yeah. And so I can eat them. I can be like, is it worth it? Do I really want these today? So the other night, my family was having nachos and I chose to have a taco salad, but I did eat a few of the chips and cheese, you know, and that was satisfying to me. But sometimes I have, you know, nacho, whatever, I'll eat those things.
Yeah.
But then I have to really look at, you know, how does this feel? So we ask ourselves, do I really want this? Is this really satisfying to me? So both to our palate and to my body. You know how there's some things you eat and an hour later you're like starving again?
Yes.
You have a lot of satiety, right? And sometimes you're in a position where like you have an apple and that's all, you know, that's what you, that's your option, and you eat the apple and you know you're going to be hungry in an hour, right?
Yeah.
But you know, the goal is really to eat foods that are satisfying and that, you know, nourish you. But we also allow for fun foods and satisfying foods and celebratory foods. So we really have to look at, is this food, you know, do I enjoy it? Is it something I want? And then would I choose to eat this way again? Or do I want to feel this way after having eaten in that way? So, you know, Thanksgiving, that's an example that I use. And, you know, it doesn't feel great to feel like overly stuffed, right?
Yeah.
So I used to like save up, like I wouldn't eat breakfast, you know, like I try to... It doesn't work that way. Like you don't, it's not, you know, so I wouldn't eat breakfast and then I would be like starving and eat everything. Right. Mm-hmm. It did not feel good. And then, one year I was like, okay, well this year I'm actually going to focus on having more vegetables at the table. I actually I've discovered that I have a gluten intolerance, so gluten's not worth it for me anymore. So I made rolls for my family, but I didn't have them. And I ate breakfast and I even had like, you know, I think we had like a cheese plate or something. So I had a solid snack, you know, before dinner. And then I ate like just a plateful and it was amazing. I was like, this feels great. Like, and I can eat the leftovers, right? And I can actually make turkey dinner anytime I want, if I want. So, I mean, when we can have whatever we want over time, we just kind of, it becomes just, it's just food and we can just have it when we want. But initially you might have these experiences where you kind of eat in a way it doesn't feel good. But when we can let go of the judgment and instead look at what was happening leading up to that, how did it feel? What did the experience feel like? And how do I feel after? A lot of times that's where the health aspect comes in. So there is a principle of intuitive eating that's honor our health. And then there's kind of this like in quotes using gentle nutrition. And that's how we do it, is we get more and more connected to our body and more in tune with our body. And rather than judging ourselves, we get curious and we use it as an experiment. So is this, so an example I love to use, I had a client who's doctor, they thought maybe she had a gluten intolerance. So she avoided it for a little while. And then she decided to reintroduce it, and she had a bagel. And she didn't have any GI issues or anything like that, but she was so tired after eating the bagel. It was like 3 p.m. She actually had to go to bed. Like, she had to go take a nap. Yeah. But then the next time she was like, do I want a bagel? No, actually, I don't feel like having to sleep in the middle of the day, right. Whatever. What she was out with her friends, and she's like, I do not want to feel that tired, you know? Yeah. So it wasn't worth it. But there's other times where she's chosen to have one, you know, but it's not bad. It's just a bagel, but for her, you know, for whatever reason, it causes her to be extremely fatigued. And most of the time, that's not worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's really, you know, I would say to start intuitive eating, getting curious, letting go of judgment, starting to experiment, looking at what is it that's happening leading up to, if you're having an experience where you eat in a way that doesn't feel good to your body. And then go from there, right? That's really the starting point.
And so I'm assuming you teach people hunger signals, what they are, what they mean, because a lot of us aren't tuned to that anymore, probably. Mm-hmm. I would say majority of people. You also, then it sounds like, really want people to concentrate on how they feel with that food, which is also something that a lot of us have just become numb to in society. You just eat because it tastes good. You don't think about, and because people are so sick, really, no other better word, sickened, and, you know, food has makes people just feel less optimal in their wellness than they could be. And that's the way they're used to living. It's probably quite challenging for some people to pick up on how they feel, because they maybe always feel like shit.
So, yeah. I think that's a really good point. And that's part of why it's important to have a team, right? Mm-hmm. Like, have a good doctor. And I always encourage people, look for a naturopath, functional medicine provider, nurse practitioner. You know, they tend to be more holistic, osteopath.
Yeah.
And then, you know, unfortunately, right, insurance doesn't cover it, but I feel like having a coach or having a support group or having, you know, you can read the intuitive eating book. I know people who have, they're like, yes, I've read it. And, you know, I'm still not feeling, you know, confidence because, getting down to what is going on for you specifically. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, body attunement is really challenging, like you're saying. And, you know, maybe you've had trauma, right? So there might be, or maybe you have physical pain, or maybe you have, you know, I'm in recovery. A lot of people that I work with, I don't work exclusively with people in recovery, but I have people come to me who are. And, you know, a lot of times it's like we've had this habit of numbing out using substances or, you know, drinking or whatever it is. And I mean, even just, you know, Netflix, we use food. So breaking through that habit can be really challenging. And it can feel really uncomfortable to just be in our body.
Yeah.
So if you've had, like, if you have PTSD, this works to be challenging, right? And so going to therapy or getting support, working through your PTSD.
Yeah.
Right. Or if you're having physical pain, see a massage therapist or a chiropractor, right? Yep. Or, like, we have to address that pain. It's not going to feel comfortable to be in your body, and you're going to have an increased desire to use food to self-soothe.
Yeah.
As long as you're having that pain problem. So, you know, we have to look at the underlying things and really address those while we're starting to practice and have these experiences and, you know, anything that we could do to develop more connection with our body. So yoga, meditation, even just like taking a break. Like, if you're someone like you and I, you're in doing work and your mind is really focused, you know, we're in our head.
Yep.
Taking a break, even like going and doing the dishes, right? Or just like walking around for a few minutes or doing some, you know, moving our body or doing a stretch, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Can help us like get back into our body.
Yeah. Which is really important. Definitely.
Yeah.
So it sounds like intuitive eating, the goal is to just help the body holistically, not necessarily weight loss. I'm sure that's what a lot of people probably come to you about, because that's the thing now, you know, we all are conditioned to think we need to be a certain way, look a certain way, and like you said, especially women. So it's not necessarily weight loss is the main goal, but weight loss can definitely be a side effect if needed, right? If you do need to shed some weight, intuitive eating can help with that.
Yeah. So intuitive eating is weight neutral. Mm-hmm. And so when people come to me, I ask them to put weight on the back burner. And a lot of times they'll say, well, I need to lose weight. And then when we get down to it, it's either they've been told by their doctor, or they feel they should, or they have even a health condition, right? So someone might say, well, I need to lose weight because I have diabetes. Mm-hmm. Well, studies have shown that, again, if we focus on weight loss, it is not helpful. Mm-hmm. So they did a study where they had, people who have diabetes and they focused on weight loss, and then they had another group that had diabetes that they focused on health interventions and health promoting activities, right? Mm-hmm. So we focus on the health promoting activities. That group had much better blood sugar control than the group.
Oh, interesting.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we get down to like, what is it that makes you feel like you need to lose weight, and what's something we can do? A lot of times there is a real health issue going on. And so what can we do to honor your health? Mm-hmm. If you're having joint pain, movement's great for that, right?
Yeah.
And glucosamine, right? There's so many things that we can do that isn't focusing on weight loss. Mm-hmm. In terms of what people's bodies do, everyone's bodies are different. And again, a lot of times people have that like eating whatever they want period. So they might even see some weight gain, which makes people nervous. But most people find that their weight normalizes or becomes stable at minimum. And that's really awesome when your weight has fluctuated 100 pounds, like for me, like I actually just have like one or two sizes in the closet. Right. And they just, like, I get to just keep those same clothes and just wear them all the time. Uh-huh. It's amazing. That's been really exciting for me. Mm-hmm. And, what I find is that when we address the underlying things, some people are prone to weight gain and these things genetically, right? Mm-hmm. And that's their body. And so we try to have body acceptance. If you're having a lot of like hormone issues or something like that, and that's causing you to have weight gain, well, if we address the hormone issues, right, then, a lot of times that will help. Mm-hmm. Also, we do focus on getting in more nutrient dense food. So I've had clients simply by making sure that they were getting 3 quality meals in a day, just doing that, having an additive goal of getting more nutrient dense food in.
Yeah.
They did lose some weight. Right.
Nice.
So for me, I've been stable. My weight has been steady. But it is weight neutral. And I think for some people that's a turnoff because they believe that they do, they want to lose weight because they want to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. I just saw a TED talk by Redefining Beauty. This is a set of twins, although only one of them is speaking on the TED talk.
Okay.
Who, they got their PhD in around body image issues.
Wow.
And really powerful work. And what she was talking about is that we, in particular as women, but as people, it's really, their mission is really to help women to stop being objectified and stop objectifying themselves. And so, mm-hmm. The whole kind of body positivity, you deserve to wear a bathing suit too, or a bikini too, is still like focusing on women's bodies as things that wear bathing suits instead of like people who want to be outside, if you want to swim, awesome, go swim, but like.
You deserve to feel good. Like everybody else.
Yeah.
Everybody deserves to feel good.
Yeah. But it's not about like being pretty or beautiful enough to be objectified. Right. Yeah. So they said, my body is an instrument, not an ornament. And I was like, that's yes. And so that's a big piece of the work that I do now too, is really like, where are these thoughts coming from? And so, we kind of lump that in with like the food police and the, making food emotionally neutral. It's all cultural conditioning that's meant to be the measurement of, whether we're good enough and so we can't tie our value and our worth to our size or what we ate or the number on the scale.
Yeah.
Because that's not how we're going to ever feel that we are good enough, right? Because what if I mean, if you eat some potato chips tonight, then tomorrow morning the scale's probably going to be higher. It's sodium, like it's nothing to do, you know, like you can't gain 3 pounds from eating, you know, 3 ounces of potato chips, but you know, you can retain water, right?
Yeah. And
so, I mean, it's like, my value and my worth is no longer tied to those things. Mm-hmm. It's now, you know, solidly grounded in that I am valuable and worthy of love and respect no matter what. My value is constant and non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And I want other people to know that theirs is too. So nice. You know, this is something we can start to develop for ourselves. We can model for the children who are growing up today and for each other, give each other permission to own our value and worth and be empowered to know that we're valuable. You know? Nice.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, like you said, I'm quoting you, with intuitive eating, we stop making our food choices based on shoulds, and instead we build trust with our bodies so it can guide us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. It's all about rejecting the external stuff and really going internally, but we do have to build that trust. And so that's why I think a lot of times it's such a leap for people mentally. They're like, oh, I can't trust myself. Well, At one point you had all you needed to be an intuitive eater, right? When you're an infant or, you know, for some people well into childhood, although others not so much, you know, depends on what age your parents, you know, started telling you you have to eat your vegetables or whatever it is.
Right. Yep.
So we kind of lose that connection, but we can regain it and rebuild it. And so, that's how we can start to eat intuitively. And it's so wonderful. Like I have my body with me all the time. I don't have to carry anything to measure my food. I don't have to like count points or count calories or any of that. Like I can just be like, okay, body, how are we doing? You know, like this morning I wanted my normal breakfast, which is like a scramble minus the eggs. Mm-hmm. That has like protein and sweet potatoes and kale.
Yeah. Sounds delicious.
It's like my healthiest meal of the day, but I had these mixed greens that I just have been craving. I feel like because it's springtime, my body's like, oh, it's time for, you know, fresh baby greens or whatever.
Yeah.
So I sprinkled that on my breakfast. It was so satisfying. Right.
Nice.
But if I wasn't listening to my body, if I was instead like, oh, I have to make sure I'm eating this right serving size or eating the right, you know, macros, then like the satisfaction of that meal wouldn't have ever even come into play. Mm-hmm. And the thing that happened to me, you know, what was satisfying for me this morning happened to be something that actually added nutrients, right?
Yeah.
Other times it's like, oh, I want, I don't know, you know,
some Kibble chips.
Potato chips, yeah. And that's really satisfying, but maybe my body needs the salt, right? Or the calories or whatever. So,
yeah. Yeah. Nice. So you offer a 6-month private coaching program and an online intuitive eating group coaching course.
Yeah. So I work with people in a couple of ways. So my goal is really to spread this message to as many people as possible, which means wide and deep. So I speak to groups of people. So I'm a speaker. Mm-hmm. I am actually working on a podcast right now and recovery focused, but we're also going to be talking about recovering from disordered eating and body image and all of that. So that's called Breaking Free, Your Recovery, Your Way. And that'll be coming out probably just after this podcast airs.
Awesome.
I write, so I have a blog. Mm-hmm. And then I work with people one-on-one. So like you said, the private coaching course, it's 6 months long. We really dive into all of the barriers, you know, and all of the ways in which intuitive eating, you know, can help them heal their relationship with food. Mm-hmm. So I did not say this, but there are 10 principles of intuitive eating. And so it takes time.
Oh, okay.
And that group of people also has access to my online course. Mm-hmm. The online course, we go over one principle a week and there's modules, right? So there's like videos of me talking about it. And then there's some like written assignments that people can do too. Cause you know, everybody has different learning styles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we have like at the end, we have a goal setting. So it's actually 11 weeks, right? Because we want to continue using that. We want to keep that momentum up, right? And mm-hmm. continue to apply intuitive eating into our lives. So lots of different ways people can work with me. Mm-hmm. My goal, like I mentioned, is to really spread this message. And I really like working with women who are leaders and entrepreneurs who have a big mission in the world, because by them stepping into their power, they can have more influence in the world. They can bring their magic to the world. Mm-hmm. as I mentioned in the beginning, you know, being freed up from all of that draining mental and emotional energy that we're wasting trying to control food and control our bodies.
Yeah.
And take care of ourselves and nourish ourselves and really, you know, have that much more impact. And they're able to model this work for others that they influence as well. So I love that idea of the ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anytime I can plant a seed. So, if, you know, anybody listening, you know, if you are excited about this, please spread the message, spread the word, tell people about the podcast. It, you know, sometimes it's all it takes is just like that one little seed and then it can grow.
Yeah.
Is something really beautiful.
Yeah. Down with the diet industry.
Totally.
And tell everybody how they can find you online.
Yeah. So my website is coachtiffanyrn.com. And it's got information about my programs and my blogs up there too.
Cool. Awesome. As always, it was super fun chatting with you. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we take off?
Well, I want to say thank you very much. I appreciate the work that you're doing. The Healing Ways community has been really lovely. They've just embraced me and I love the connections there. You know, the directory is awesome. I feel like it's really hard for people to access holistic care. And so, yeah, so I love it. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing.
I did not pay her to say that. <by the way>. Tiffany, it was awesome. You're awesome. I can't wait to help you, you know, be a catalyst to this ripple effect you're trying to spread out all over. It's awesome. So, and we'll keep an eye out for your podcast. Like you said, it'll be launching probably shortly after this one. And then, one last thing about your group coaching program, it is seasonal, correct?
Yeah. So the one-on-one, the one-on-one is seasonal. We launch in the spring and the fall. And so I'll probably close enrollment for that, at the end of May.
Okay.
And then the online intuitive eating course, I'm actually just launching one. So by the time this comes out, we'll already be in process.
Okay.
And so this time I really did it as a response to some of the requests for it.
Okay.
So I'm not committed to doing it necessarily live again with the group coaching component, but it will become evergreen at some point so people can, you know, kind of self-pace do it. So that'll be happening. So, you know, and that'll all be on the website. Nice. But if there's enough demand, then I will do another group coaching program associated with the course.
Cool. Yeah. Because, you know, just reading the book is not always good for everybody.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us that probably need a lot more support. So that's why you're here. And thank you again. You've just listened to Holistic Healing Connection with me, Amber Cook. You can find out more about me and other holistic healers, coaches, and practitioners at healingwaze.com. That's healing, WAZE.com, or on most major social media outlets. If you are a holistic professional and would like to be a guest on this podcast, please go to healingwaze.com to join. If you have been helped by holistic or alternative medicine, I'd love to help you share your story on this podcast to help inspire others. Please email us at info@healingwaze.com with the title Podcast Guest. And don't forget to come back every week for more holistic fun. Thanks for listening and have a beautiful day.